So today we're going to celebrate the Feast of Bartholomew. Bartholomew or Nathanael, lots of different names for this gentleman. And I think that's interesting because on this island, everybody knows this is the Anglican Church. They don't call it St. Bartholomew's Church. I think a lot of French people wouldn't even know that the saint is actually venerated by us in a church named after him. There are two other much more famous St. Bartholomew churches that I can think of. There's the one in London that was established over 1,000 years ago by a group of monks called St. Bartholomew the Great. It's a magnificent church which was originally part of the monastery. And the monks that started it started a hospital nearby. So even better known in London is St. Bart's the Hospital. I always joke and say if I'm working at St. Bart's, I'm going to think automatically I'm working at the hospital in London. They know it's Bart's, famous teaching hospital. The other St. Bart's that's very well known is the one in New York, in Manhattan. Very inclusive church, always been very inclusive throughout its period. And the priest who was there 20 years ago actually used to come and preach here occasionally. So the two famous churches there are St. Bartholomew. And there are obviously other ones around. I do a little article in the Anglican magazine occasionally just to let people know about the other St. Bartholomew's churches around the world. Now, the thing about St. Bartholomew is that he was also called Nathanael. Lots of apostles had different names. Peter, Simon, this is Bartholomew, Nathanael. And the thing that we should know really about him is that Jesus spotted him and said, he has no deceit in him. Last week, I talked about forgiveness. I talked about that act of forgiveness is such an important act that we should all try and do, both in terms of ourselves forgiving others and allowing others to forgive us. Important aspect of Christianity is forgiveness. Growing up, I was my family were a good Church of England family, and I went to a Church of England school. And always we had two groups of people who used to go to church, the Church of England and the Catholics. And the Catholics were always put to one side. My parents were saying, they have this confession where they go and say and confess their sins and receive forgiveness, and they go and do it again. It's like, what's all that about? The Catholics have this aura in England that they're the ones that can have confession and forgiveness of their sins. Completely forgetting that the Anglican Church has it also. It doesn't make a big deal out of it, but it has it also. We say, every time we say the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses. Forgive us our sins as those who trespass against us. Forgive us our trespasses was the way I learned it growing up at school. Trespass just means a wrongdoing. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. It's interesting when you become a young lawyer in England, the first thing you learn is about trespass. It's actually a legal term in England. And you see signs all posted around England, trespassers will be prosecuted. It's a famous sign that people put. We have a lot of rights of way in England where you can cross common land, cross people's land, but then you have signs saying trespassers will be prosecuted. Prosecuted means as a criminal offence. So the first thing you learn as a lawyer, completely wrong. Trespasses can't be prosecuted. You can only claim a civil claim. If someone trespasses on your land, you can't call the police. You have to go to court and do it as a civil offence, not a criminal offence. So the smart aleck young lawyer always goes around telling everyone that trespassers can't be prosecuted. And the law doesn't prosecute either. He's not there to judge you as a criminal offence. When we ask forgiveness, our trespasses will be forgiven. So I spoke last week about trespasses. What I'm going to talk about today is looking at ourselves, and just as Nathanael, St. Bartholomew, didn't have any guile in him, any deceit in him, that's the focus I want us to look at today. The deceit or the guile or the deception we have in ourselves. And that deception in ourselves is when we tell ourselves that we're justified to do something. We find a justification for doing something. Normally something that isn't quite right. And we know it's not quite right. But we come up with a justification to ourselves and to others. And that's what Nathanael didn't do. He had no justification. He knew what he was doing was always right. There was no deceit in him. There was no deception in him. He always chose the right path to go down. And that's what we have to try and do. It's not an easy job to do. Making the right decision is always the one that makes us sleep at night. It's always the one where we feel good about ourselves and good about others, because we've made the right decision. When we've made the wrong decision, we go over it again in ourselves. We go over it again and again. We have a sleepless night about it, because we know actually that decision we've made isn't quite the right decision. How we've treated somebody isn't quite the way we should have wanted to be treated ourselves. That's the deceit that can be in us. So today, let's see if we can clear through that deceit, clear through the guile that we can have inside of us to be an honest, true person. And that, combined with forgiveness, will give us that love that we talk about in the church, love we talk about in the gospel, that spiritual love, loving each other, loving ourselves, and loving our neighbours. If we get that, we have that one love. I think that's the way we have to look at it. The world needs that one love, but it has to start with us. One love, one heart. If we have those two things, we have that togetherness. So a short homily today, because I know that Bob Marley can do it much better than I can.